broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Good morning. Did you sleep good last night? It was 63 degrees when I got up here on Oahu. High surf advisory for the north and west facing shores, Niihau, Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, north facing shores of Maui as well. It's going to be sunny today on the north side of the islands with scattered showers south side and isolated showers throughout the day. High today about 77 degrees and the winds are northerly 15 to 20 miles per hour. No kidding. Northerly winds with the cool temperatures down to 63, 68. Looks like we're going to have this kind of weather for the next many days. I got a great show for you. Rainer Doors, I want to thank them for helping us with the show. Aloha Power Equipment, Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe. There's a tee time for you if you'd like to get out and play a round of golf. We've got one at 8:11 this morning, one later on in the afternoon or close to the afternoon. That would be 11:18, 10:32, and 9:10. So get out and play around. Bayview is awesome. They've really made a difference there. And our show, Adam Shupak calling in from the AT&T at Pebble Beach. Jean-Peter Hagen, author of Play Away Please, Pebble Beach Insider with the inside scoops, what's going on in kind of the social aspect of a pro-am tournament. Claude Brousseau, director of instruction at Wailea Golf Resort. Mark Rolfing, Top Golf Hawaii, of course, NBC and Golf Channel analyst, and we're kicking it all off with Mike Johnson, senior editor, Golf Digest, and The Hot List. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Let's bring him right in. His name is Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson is Golf Digest Senior Equipment Editor and Hot List team member. This is a long process. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mike.
Well, I fancy myself a good leadoff hitter, so hopefully we can keep that going.
Yeah, absolutely. Out of 248 candidates, you had to whittle it down to about 131 finalists, tested, reviewed the best new clubs of the year, and finding the right equipment for your game is the purpose behind the Hot List, looking at what's coming out, what's new, who made gold, who made silver. But you know what? I was pretty amazed. You've got judges and scientists and players who are all part of this process. Give us just a little bit before we talk about what I was amazed about. The 18 players, they're testing. Who are they?
They are people like you and me, except they're not in the golf industry. They are just everyday golfers who we have gotten recommendations either from their pro or we've heard about it, you know, a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. At times, we will do a search call out on our website or through social media. But, you know, we're not just picking guys and women just to because. You know, the vetting process is pretty serious because it's arduous. I mean, you need to stand up to 3 days of hitting balls, and then not just hitting balls, but being able to discern differences, being able to articulate those differences in words, being able to put brand biases aside. You know, as we tell them, you shouldn't be surprised up or down about anything because there should be no surprises. It should just be whatever you're experiencing. And, you know, so we will ask for, we'll give them two clubs. They go down to your local golf store and give us a review on these clubs, how you would review them if you were with us. Then we'll ask for videos of their swing. As I said earlier, a recommendation from your teaching pro. We want to make sure that these people are all in because they're such a valuable part of our process.
Great. And then you have, of course, the scientists, six scientists. Now, who are the scientists involved?
So they are leading academics from a number of universities, both here in the United States and a couple are from Canada. Some of them have worked in the golf industry at some point in time, not as R&D people, but as consultants on various projects. So they're intimately knowledgeable about golf equipment, what it does, what it's supposed to do. And what they help us do is, you know, our judges, we like to think we're very versed in golf equipment technology, but we're not physicists. We're not engineers. We're not collision theorists. We're not metallurgists. So these people help us go through the process, and we assign companies to each one of them, and then they go and visit those companies or have conference calls with those companies, and they get to ask questions directly of the R&D people. So that's the deep dive we need to know. Is this technology, A, feasible? Does it work? And B, is it important to the golfer? Does it have real meaning? And they are so good at that and able to come back and report and really help guide us in our score on innovation.
And then there are the four judges. And who are the four judges?
So it is Mike Stachura, who is my partner over at Golf Digest. And as I refer to him, he is the Chief Justice. He kind of spearheads the whole project. I work very closely with him, but, you know, someone's got to run point, and Mike's the main guy. Then there's myself and Joel Beal and Keely Levins rounded out. Joel is a staff writer for Golf Digest with a keen interest in equipment and a really good player himself. And Keely is our hot list coordinator as well as an associate editor at Golf Digest. Also a really good player, very keen on the equipment front. And when we get behind closed doors for 2 weeks to slug it out, everyone's speaking their mind or bringing something up that maybe the other hasn't thought of. Because when you get down to it, we are discerning degrees of excellence. And it can get difficult to find those differences.
I bet. How are they rated? How do you come up with a number system for a club?
Yeah, it's really kind of a slotting system, if you will, where we will start out is, you know, we have four categories: innovation, look, sound, feel, performance, and demand. And we'll start with a category and we'll say, okay, we're going to do drivers, and we're going to go and we're going to do innovation. And our first starting point is, which drivers do we feel are the most innovative or technologically advanced? Or, you know, the term innovation has a lot of uses for us. It includes how well the company has explained its technology, or how well they do in fitting. But anyway, we'll say, who's the 100? You know, who are the candidates? And then we'll really drill down on those six, and we'll kind of slot them. Eventually, someone will be the 100, and, you know, someone might be 98, someone might be 95, and you kind of go down that process, and then we go, okay, who's the next tier? And we'll do that, and we'll end up slotting that. And we do that in every category for every club. It can get tedious, but, man, we know how important it is, and we take it very, very seriously. And our final kind of sanity check, when all the scores are calculated and punched in, some clubs are clearly gold, some are clearly silver, some are clearly off the list. But the ones that are close, one way or the other, we look at again, and we say, do they really belong in this group? Should they be moved down? Should they be moved up? And we kind of bat it through one more time, because when they're close, we want to make sure that we have the answer why they ended up gold, silver, or off the list.
That's amazing. I mean, it takes time. And do you guys get into arguments?
Oh. I think years ago, Mike Stachura was called a communist by one of us. You know,
so politics comes into it now, right?
Yeah, and we had another one where one of our judges was like, fine, we'll just go with what you guys say. And we're like, no, that's not how it works. Convince us that you're right and we're wrong. And but, yeah, when you're spending 10 hours a day in a closed room for two solid weeks with just the four of us, we don't let anyone else in. You know, it's a lot of you know, Chinese food and sandwiches, and for Stachura, caramel M&Ms usually soothe the savage beast.
Yeah, if you, you know, and of course everybody's got strong opinions about something, and so then you have to work it out. No, I think I see it better than you see it. You're not seeing what I'm seeing. I can see how it, you know, tempers and feelings and judgments would be intense. But what I was surprised about, and I don't know, I've been doing this only a short amount of time. My memory doesn't serve me perfectly, but I was surprised when I went through the categories. Drivers, Callaway got the top gold mark, and Fairway Woods, Callaway, and best hybrids, Callaway, and best players irons, Callaway. And then I went, well, did they win every category?
No. I mean, it is our presentation in the hot list is alphabetical. It's alphabetical by gold medal winners and then alphabetical by silver medal winners. It's entirely possible they could be presented first in order of how you see it, but they might have been the end of gold, possibly. The order of the presentation does not indicate at all who won. If you're trying to get a handle for who won, you kind of have to look at our star ratings. We rate all four criteria 1 to 5 stars. And, you know, some people say, well, sometimes it's difficult to tell who won. Yes, that means it was incredibly close. And, you know, we probably wouldn't have been comfortable saying outright, this club did better than all the others. But there's some other categories where if you see one club with 5 stars across the board and they're the only one who has that, then, yeah, they won the category.
And that's what's really important, is that when you see the hot list and you see the names, Callaway, Cleveland, Cobra, Mizuno, PXG, TaylorMade, and Titleist, you see that it's not that order. It's just alphabetical. And I don't think...
Yeah, and we note that in the magazine that it's alphabetical as well. Maybe we need to put it in a little bolder type.
Yeah, because I think people are so overwhelmed sometimes with information, they glance and make assumptions. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah, and then when it comes down to, okay, so which one am I going to choose out of these gold lists, you know, these great, and then like the stars, well, that, you know, when I picked that club up, I checked it out at my pro shop, and I went, well, that's the point. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be the look, sound, and feel that you like, because bottom line is it's still a subjective decision that you've made about the look, sound, and feel, and everybody's eye is different.
Exactly, and I think it's important to note, I mean, we get a lot of people saying, well, why even have silver metal products? And the fact is, if you're a silver metal product, we are saying there is an audience that we think this club would be very good for. You may be silver because maybe you didn't have a lot of options. You know, maybe you had 2 lofts instead of 4 lofts, or maybe you didn't have adjustability and everyone else did have adjustability. We don't put a club on the list that we don't feel there is an audience out there who would say, hey, that's really good for me. While, yes, there are a lot of products on 131, you know, we weeded out more than 110 to start with. And if you want to take it a step further, because one of our frustrations has always been we don't feel that, you know, we take you far enough. We have a new interactive tool that's going to launch this week where you can answer a series of 3 binary questions, and we'll whittle it down for you a little bit further. We'll try to get you down to 3, 4, or 5 choices, and then you can kind of take it from there.
That's excellent. I need to ask you, all of these clubs are fabulous, and they're designed to give the golfer the best opportunity to hit the ball and make it go as far as possible. Because we all need length, because the golf course is asking us to get from point A to the hole. in 4 or 3 or 5 strokes, and hopefully we can do even better than that. So we need as much advantage as possible. And I don't know how many years ago when they came out with a huge head compared to what was played 25 years ago, it was mostly played for, women who just couldn't get the ball going. And give me that big head, because at least I know I can hit that and I can play in this charity tournament and have a good time. And that was back in the 90s. I remember one lady in particular who said that, and she loved her driver. Well, now everybody's playing with that, and everybody's making these distances, and of course you know where I'm going. This is Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson is Golf Digest Senior Equipment Editor. This week, the distance report came out from the USJ and the RNA, saying that because of a lot of things, including how do we sustain a golf course and keep it so that golf course owners and operators can at least have a smidgen margin of profitability and keep people employed, we can't afford to have people hitting it any farther. Well, the people I think they're talking about mainly are the pros, and those aren't us everyday players. What was your take on the distance report?
Yeah, well, actually, Mike Stitcher and I went down to the USGA the day before, and we're able to sit down with Mike Davis, who's executive director, and Mr. Newell, who's the president, and Tom Pagel, Rand Jarrus, everyone who's kind of in the room on these things. And they kind of walked us through their thought process and some of their findings, and we were able to answer some questions. I think the takeaway for me is, I think the USGA is a little bit like the House Democrats on impeachment. They know it's a tough road to get everyone on board, but they feel it's the right thing to do, so they at least want to try. And if they fail, at least they perhaps educated some people in the process. I think one of the most telling things in the entire report is they're talking about the possibility of implementing a local rule. So clubs or tournaments or associations or whatever could possibly, if they felt like they wanted to, they could get this local rule implemented and use it and use whatever it may be, a rolled back ball, a different type of club, whatever it may be. There's a lot of, moving parts to it. But I did get the sense that they felt this is not going to be easy to get people on board. I mean, the PGA Tour, if the PGA Tour is not on board, nothing's going to happen.
I mean, in
a big way, because that is the primary driver of this. But they did talk a lot about, elite players at the club level who just, 6,800 yards isn't cutting it for them, and they're the ones demanding these extra tees, and which is driving up maintenance costs and, driving up the amount of water we use. And I get that to an extent, but I think we're really talking about the top 1-2% of the game, and everyone else is going to be impacted, because Davis was specific, and I'm going to quote him. He said, "We are steadfast in our belief that one set of rules is in the best interest of the game for everyone. That means they are not going to bifurcation in any way, shape, or form. So if they implement something, it's going to be for all of us."
Yeah, and the biggest reaction so far has been from recreational or amateur golfers who are very serious about their handicaps, very serious about getting good, the amateurs. The recreational golfers just want to go out and have some fun and hit well. But we're not going to be hitting 300-yard drives, not unless we spend a whole lot of time in the gym, work out, and practice. Practice, 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 practice. And it's not our full-time job like it is the professional's full-time job. That's their job. And they happen to be really talented. And the top 200 golfers in the world, 500 golfers in the world, that's who we're talking about. I don't think we're talking about anybody. But the reaction that we're getting is, don't you take that length away from me, because otherwise I'm going to drop out of golf. Nobody's, if you can hit 300 yards regularly, then you shouldn't be just playing once in a while. You should be out there making money on it. And I thought
and I think you've hit on the difficult position they find themselves in. And it said so right in the report. Right in the report, they say, we find that most everyday players are playing tees that are too far back. So what they're saying is, people already don't have enough length to play the courses that they're playing, and now we're going to take some of that away. That is very hard for people to reconcile. And my Twitter feed, when I posted something, it blew up with people. You know, it was probably 9-1 saying, don't do this. Don't take my distance away. And if you're an equipment manufacturer, you know, every time I go and sit down with them and they show us research they've done, what's the number one thing people are asking for? More distance.
I got to ask you, though, do you think...
It's really difficult.
Do you think the amateur player, the person who goes out once a week, twice a week, are they really going... They're not going to lose distance if they're using the same clubs. I just don't see them being able... I don't see them losing distance. I see the pros. And Phil Mickelson said, you know, whatever they choose to do, we're going to be able to do just fine. We're still going to win. We're going to still adapt to this. Although I wish the organization wasn't run by a bunch of amateurs, which was an interesting take. We're still going to be able to deal with it, you know. So I just don't see why the regular golfer is worried about this, because they're not going to lose anything. At least I don't think so.
Well, I would disagree with that. If it's not a local rule and it's an actual rule of golf, and they roll back the ball in some capacity or say club heads cannot exceed 400 cc's, or the maximum length of a driver can only be 43 inches, you better believe you're going to lose a lot. I mean, I did an experiment once, you know, using an old 280cc club. And now, yeah, granted, the face isn't as springy either, but I was all over the place with that because it has a fraction of the forgiveness of a 460cc head. So... I'm not so sure I would agree with that statement.
Okay.
Now, if they implement the local rule, I think, and again, I think this is what's going to be the most logical conclusion, then everyone's kind of safe, right? I go to play in my club championship. I know no way are they ever going to implement that rule at my club. So life goes on for me as it always has. The PGA of America may decide to implement it for the PGA championship. Okay, then the pros have to deal with it. But in that scenario, I would agree, then everyday players really wouldn't be impacted.
And I was thinking along the lines of that, not everything stopping right now and not letting equipment manufacturers find out a way to get more distance out of their clubs, out of the ball, and just keep it where it is now. At some point, it needs to stop. And it does. I'm not saying roll back. I'm saying let's keep it right here, right now, so we don't have to build 9,000-yard golf courses that are difficult to maintain and keep up.
I think what they're afraid of is, and not without some justification, I think every time we feel that we've gotten to the end of a technological road, history has shown that you can eventually find a way to go beyond that. And so let's say the rule is, look, we just stop right where we are here. And, you know, can't do this, can't do that, can't. Well, at some point in time, a material is going to come out or a manufacturing process is going to be implemented that will allow a manufacturer to make a driver where every hit on the face behaves like a center hit. That would increase distance. I always remember I tell this story a lot. Dick Ruggie, who was the head of the USGA equipment division for a number of years, but before that he was at TaylorMade. And in 1997 or 98, clubhead size had gotten around 320, 330 cc's. And I asked him, you know, how much further could we go? And he was very definitive. He's like, this is it. You know, we can't go any further. You know, it's just not possible. And when I reminded him of that years later, he said, well, you're actually making my point as far as rulemaking on equipment. I thought we couldn't go any further. I didn't realize we would eventually be able to use titanium. I didn't realize manufacturing would allow us to thin those faces out to where they could hold up. You know, I wasn't aware of this. And, you know, I think that's the thing, right? You know, it's like computers. They get smaller, they get faster, mm-hmm. they get better, and everything else. So I think what the USGA is concerned about isn't so much today. I think if you could tell them no one would ever get any longer than they are today, they would sign on the dotted line for that. Mm-hmm. I think they're afraid it's going to get even longer.
That's where I'm coming from. That's where I'm coming from. Absolutely. Mike Johnson, Golf Digest Senior Equipment Editor, Hot List team member. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's always fun talking with you. Interesting.
Anytime, Danielle.
Aloha. Coming back, yes, we've got Mark Rolfing. He's going to weigh in on this distance report. He's golf analyst and golf commentator for Golf Channel, NBC Sports, Top Golf Hawaii update as well. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And let's bring Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator with Golf Channel and NBC Sports, Top Golf Hawaii, into the clubhouse. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Danielle. That was an interesting discussion.
Your thoughts, what would you do? Would you stop it right now? Would you let it keep going? You know, like, I don't know how, what metal would make it go farther?
I don't know why we're worried about it. To be honest with you, you made a great point. We're talking about 1% of the golfers. I have not talked to a recreational golfer in some time that has told me, oh, I'm going to quit the game. I'm hitting it too far. It's just no fun anymore. I haven't had one person ever say that to me, and I'm with Mike. I think if there was a rollback, which would just be ludicrous in my mind, and it took away some enjoyment from the recreational golfers, you would have people not playing the game as much, and we're trying to grow the game, you know, not have it continue on this decline that we're seeing. So to me, if you want to deal with the best players in the world and make sure that the golf courses are still challenging for them, there's two ways to do it. Grow rough for these big tournaments and firm up the greens. That's all you have to do. I saw a great analogy the other day. If in the NBA, professional basketball, somebody said, you know what, we're seeing too many dunks. They're dunking too much in the NBA. Therefore, we should raise the basket height to 12 feet. Even if it ruined the game for kids and young people, that's what we'd be doing in golf here. And that's just a huge mistake. To me, it should be a non-issue.
A non-issue. Okay. I'm sticking with, I think they should stop now. Just because we can only have golf courses that are so long for sustainability. I mean, the price of water, maintenance, and all that, it's outlandish. But then again, as you said, you can take a golf course and make it much harder to play just by the way it's grown. It's grown. It's set up. The setup of the golf course. And I've been disappointed in the USGA and the way they've set up golf courses recently, and the PGA of America. They're both looking like the same event. It's wide open. It's bomb and gouge, and there's no challenge. There's no thinking. It's like hit it as far as you can, get on the green, yeah, and then putt.
Danielle, I'm with you. The U.S. Open has lost its personality. When I was growing up and when I was coming up in the game, the U.S. Open was maybe the most important golf tournament in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it now, I can make an argument that the Masters is ahead of it. I can make an argument that the Open Championship is ahead of it. I can make an argument that the Ryder Cup is a more,
challenging
popular event.
Yes.
I mean, I think the U.S. Open is maybe fourth or so on the most important golf tournaments in the world, and I think it's because it lost its personality. It had one. It was a different kind of a tournament. It was tough.
Mm-hmm.
But do it for the U.S. Open and forget it the rest of the time. And I'll tell you this. I think your idea about slowing things down and just not letting them go any further equipment-wise is fine. We can put some limits on the equipment for things you can do, but the ball is going to continue to go farther because people are going to figure out ways at the elite level only. They're going to figure out ways to hit it further, whether it's fitness or launch angles or things like that. You know, when we thought the 4-minute mile was the fastest anybody could run a mile, we were just dreaming. They're going to find ways to go lower, lower, lower. It's still a mile. They haven't changed how far it is, it's still a mile. And I think people will figure out a way to hit the ball further, but I really don't see that being a big problem. I think the game is in good shape at the highest levels. Where we have problems is at the grassroots level. That's what we need to work on, and rolling the ball back would be a disaster for that group.
Okay, I totally agree. I don't think anything should be rolled back at all. I wish they would just play and have a good time, but they don't have to go
really
any further. Mark Rolfing, we've got a Top Golf Hawaii community meeting coming up, and I wanted to talk about that. If you would like to get the newest, the latest information about Top Golf, if you'd like to, maybe can people voice their opinion at Diamond Head Community Association meeting at the Alawai Golf Course this coming Thursday at 6:30?
This is the Kapahulu Diamond Head Board meeting, and it's going to be a presentation from Top Golf and the City and County of Honolulu. I will be one of the presenters. Just kind of an update as to where we are. The project was announced about a year and a half ago, and there has been a tremendous amount of work done since then. Way more work than I had ever envisioned, and there will be some fairly significant updates and a lot of talk about what the plan is. I can tell you that it has become a complicated plan for a very good reason, and that is people are now starting to realize that the future of the Waikiki flood mitigation plan really rests with that 150-acre parcel sitting there that is now the Alawai Golf Course. And because Alawai Golf Course is so important as a floodplain and so important as an area that's going to protect Waikiki, we've had to make some major adjustments to the planning of the entire project so that we can do some things that are going to really help in the case of the bad storm that ultimately is going to come. And with or without an Army Corps project, that may happen, it may not happen. But even without it, there has to be a flood mitigation portion of the Alawai Golf Course, and that has never been there. Right now, there's a lot of flooding that goes on at Alawai, and that area in no way protects Waikiki. And part of what we're going to talk about on Thursday night is how we have figured out a way to be able to do it. I think generally people are going to be quite pleased when they hear the progress that's been made on Thursday night.
And they can comment? Is comments and questions going to be taken?
I think a lot. The purpose of the meeting is an update for the board.
Got it.
I would imagine that most of the questions will come from board people. I don't know exactly how it's going to go. There are certainly people that are in opposition to just about anything in Alawai when it comes to golf. There are some folks who believe that Ahlawai Golf Course shouldn't be a golf course. It ought to be a park, or it ought to be in agriculture, or it ought to be something else. And part of the discussion is going to be why, in order for that area to stay sustainable, it does have to be a golf course and should be a golf course. And I'm going to focus a lot on really the recreational benefit it provides for the community. And you're starting to see that now with all the discussions we're having about sort of re-energizing the entire facility.
Yeah, and I see a lot of people want to know why it isn't built yet. They're really looking forward to Topgolf being there. So that's, you know, and by the way, Topgolf will not increase the price of your driving. We're going to get a bucket of balls now and hitting them because Topgolf, Rain, I said, I gather, and as a lot of people do. And that was a great article by Ann Miller in the paper on Thursday. And the first step, I guess, in the process of making the Ahlawai Golf Course the place to be is the move of all of the Hall of Fame plaques to the Ahlawai, thanks to the City and County of Honolulu.
Yeah, I'm happy to report that that construction project has already begun. The new carpet went in yesterday morning. The plaques are starting to go up. The entrance to Ahlawai is going to be refreshed. And, you know, all of this is going to take a little time. It's moving faster than I thought it would. There are a couple of misnomers out there that I just want to clear up with people. You know, the first one is that there is no public money involved in this. There's no taxpayer dollars. Topgolf is the economic engine that is driving the entire physical redo of Ahlawai. And the second thing is this merger that we're talking about between the First Tee and the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association really involves only those two organizations. And there is going to be a new group with a single board formed there, and they are going to have hubs on the other islands. But in no way, shape, or form is this any kind of a takeover for junior golf in Hawaii. The grassroots organization and the junior golf groups on Oahu, those are the organizations that are really going to continue to have junior golf thrive out here. They are not really going to be affected by this merger of the two other groups, First Tee and Significant Money, to take over at all of junior golf.
Oh, that is so cool that you said that, because that has been a concern that was brought up. You know, just they didn't understand. So this is the First Tee Hawaii under the umbrella of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association with one executive director, Matt Rollins, who has a lot of background in sports management. Great guy. And so that's it. And speaking of junior golf, Hawaii Junior Golf Day is coming up on Saturday, March 21st, and it's going to be at the Ahlawai, Bayview, Hawaii Kai, Ko'olina, Hualalai, Dunes at Maui Lani, Ka'anapali, at Wailea, at Kahili, at Kiahuna, at Princeville, and Puakea. All of these people are participating. It's free, and I'm waiting to get my, you know, Hawaii Junior Golf Day spot, as we call it in the business, with Mark Rolfing voicing it. Are you going to voice the spot for us, Mark? So
I imagine I will. I usually do. And you know, it's going to be on that. We're going to have. There's just going to be for us to showcase just what junior golf and junior golf is kind of a significant part of overall Hawaii golf. What that can do to help bring this entire industry together out here. Junior golf, Hawaii's junior golf programs have always been leaders in America. They really have. Per capita, we've had more champions. We've had more kids graduate than almost any other place in America. And it's not surprising to me that junior golf, once again now, is going to kind of lead the way out here. And I think you're going to start seeing, you heard from all of it, that obviously is going to make the high tide.
And once you put a club in their hands, it becomes part of their life. And playing golf is one of the most fun things that you can do with a group of friends and the business opportunities. And they'll always be familiar with that aspect of life. They'll never have to say, you know, I don't know how to golf, so I can't play in that. And then the people who come back from something like that to the office, and they're all chummy and, you know, didn't you? Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? And you're sitting there going, I don't know what to do. So that's what really Hawaii Junior Golf Day is going to be a lot of fun. Maybe I should do my show from the Alawai Golf Course on March 21st. It starts, and it's going to be, I think it's at 9 o'clock. 8:30 is registration. Clinics are 9 to 11 o'clock, and they're free, and they're by PGA professionals, a really fun way to introduce kids to the game. Mark Rolfing, thank you for being on the show.
And call me Danielle. That is a great idea. Let's do the show out there. Let's on the 21st. I will talk to you.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark. Have a great day.
All right.
Okay.
Yep, you too.
Aloha. We're coming back. We've got Claude Brousseau. He's going to teach us a little something because he is a PGA master and he is also the director of instruction at Wailea. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Let me just let you know a couple of things going on. First of all, on the Kahili course, I think it is, we've got, or is it Makaha? The F Troop is going out. And, you know, I think I just love the fact that so many golf clubs have such interesting names. The F Troop. Do you remember the F Troop? They're going to go out and play. I hope they left the horses at home. Jim Meadows' group is going out to Kahili course. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. And at Maui Nui, we've got the Monosol, formerly Kanaka's tournament. That's going on there. The Nissin Cup is happening at Kapolei. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. So where are we going to play a round of golf? We've got at Bayview, and it's gorgeous. You'll love it. It's so much fun. 836, 910, 1032, 1118. Royal Hawaiian Country Club at 830. Makalei has an 850. Volcano was 46 degrees this morning. It may have run, warmed up a couple of degrees. There's a 940, a 1028, and now Wailea. There's an 1132 at Gold, 1151 on the Emerald, and an 836, 924, 11 o'clock on the Blue Course. And if you go to Wailea, Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Instruction of the Wailea Golf Club, is there to give you a tune-up. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha, Danielle.
Yeah, you're just, you. Claude Brousseau has done so much in addition to his book that he's written and is wonderful. I am so just enamored with the Virtual Golf Academy that he created. It's virtualgolfacademy.tv, and you've got your PGA Master and Lead Coach of Golf Channel available to you 24/7 on your smartphone. Did that go for, you presented that at the PGA show, right?
Yes, I had the opportunity to meet, you know, many people during the PGA show and share this great way of learning, because you have access to the best expertise at your fingertip anywhere. And also the beauty is, if you don't want to disturb your playing partner or where you practice, or you don't want to yet share your secret, we have subtitles. So when you're watching the video, not only you are stimulated visually because you see what you need to do, you have the choice to make the sound or not, and then you can just read the subtitle. So it's exciting because it delivers result immediately. I have a golfer that signed up, and then he sent me a testimonial after he had listened and watched the swing pot because he was struggling with that. And he says, Claude, I cannot believe I went and played just 9 holes at the end of the day because we encourage everybody to play golf. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be always a team for a time constraint, if you want. Anyway, so he went and played 9 holes, and he shot even par. He was so excited.
I would be too. VirtualGolfAcademy.tv. That's where you find. This is great. So this is your 10th year of being at the show and presenting at the PGA show in Orlando?
Yes, Danielle. For me, it's like an annual thing that I cannot miss.
It's a pilgrimage. Yes.
Go ahead.
It's a pilgrimage.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good way to express it, because when you're over there, you're so excited and stimulating by so much information. And then you make sure you keep up with the trend of what's going on, not only with the new product, the new way of teaching, coaching. We're in Hawaii, I want to make sure that the people who live here have access to all the latest and the greatest in the golf industry. So that's kind of, for me, a good way to bring my expertise that stay up to date with the people here in Hawaii.
Yeah, they're inspiring. Whenever you go and listen to some of the top golf people, whether it's, you know, mental game coaching or aim point or whatever, the agronomy. I mean, all of the stuff that's at the show that's available to be seen. And then you go to the clinics that they hold and you're like, you're inspired. You just come back with new information. You've learned something. You feel so good and you just want to come back and share it all. So you you also had the refresh at aim point because Mark Sweeney was there. And tell us a bit about what you learned and what you're going to teach.
Yes. So with Aimpoint, the refresh was to make it even more simple to do. Some people have some misconception it's complicated. No, we have a new way to, let's say, for a four-footer, we know that if most of the time you will have to aim only, let's say if it's a 1% grade, you will need to aim only inside of the cup. If it's a 2%, it's easy. You aim one ball out. And then, so we simplify it, and it's very efficient. We also not only teach the aiming point, but we also make it more compelling and complete because we also teach speed. Very interesting stuff to help people to control their distance better.
And that's all about lag putting too, isn't it? I mean, you want to, if it's too far for you, you at least get close. So the next putt, you're going to go in.
Correct. The best advice, or one of the best that I can give to you, listener, if you want to avoid three putts, take practice your lag putt, let's say 10, 20, 30 footer. Don't do it at the hole. Just imagine a zone, let's say a 3 feet deep zone, that you need to pass the first line and stop before the second one. So practice your lag putt, and then practice your inside 3 feet. There is no reason that any of the players, any age, and all your listeners can make those three-footer a lot more often if they practice it and make sure that they Most of the time, it's a lack of preparation.
Just getting used to it. Speaking of preparation, aren't you teaching a couple of sessions, Aim Point Express Read sessions at Wailea Golf Academy? I guess it's February 15th, 10 to 11:30?
Yes, that class is already full.
Oh. So
that gives you a good idea of how people are in need of instruction on how to read green. So, but don't worry, I got one for you. So the same day, we have a space at Wailea Golf Academy, and it's Aim Point Express Read from 1 to 2:30. So I have space in that one. And I will do another one in March. So on a recurrence, I will make sure that this is available for the golfers.
Great, great. So, some of the things that you saw at the demo day, and one of the that putter was amazing. It was the biggest putter I've ever seen. There was a video. What was 335 pounds? The head 61.5 feet long. Was that a John Deere putter?
Yes, that was interesting. That was a collaboration between John Deere and Ping. So the head was a Ping head. And the beauty of it, Daniel, that's why it's so exciting as well to go there. You see stuff like that. And then anybody could go jump in that little machine, I will call that, and then you can roll that huge ball in that big hole, and people were cheering if the person was doing it. So it was a fun thing to do.
Yeah, so you could actually manipulate the head of the putter and hit the giant ball sitting in a John Deere tractor?
Yes,
wow.
Exactly.
Wow, how much fun is that? We're talking about junior golf and junior golf day, and you introduced me. I haven't met her yet, but I'm amazed. Her name is Kate Tempesta Urban, and she has introducing golf to children starting at 3. That's really young.
She is just an amazing lady. And then it just go well with what you were talking earlier with Mark Rolfing about how we can promote junior golf and get people in the game as early as possible. And Kate Tempesta, she's in New York. So, and then she will teach in Central Park. And then inside, also she's in 21 states, 4 countries, 65 facility and growing. It's just amazing. For it's not every coach that want to necessarily get in that niche, but she has a full curriculum with puppets, with how to do class prepare, and then she specialized from 3 years old. And so exciting because she was a teacher. And then for 20 years, she's laser focused on how children learn. And then she just wants them to learn golf. I'm so excited about what she does. She's amazing.
If you want to see what this is all about, Kate Tempesta, it's KTUGA.com. KTUGA.com. We're talking with, of course, the wonderful Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Instruction, Wailea Golf Academy, for your desktop or your device, whichever. Best teacher in your state is ranked by their peers, number one, Claude Brousseau. And I really like the fact that, you know, when you talk about if you don't want people to hear or disturb people when you want it, but they're checking it out, something at Virtual Golf Academy, it's then written. Some people learn better when they see it instead of hearing it. So reading what you're saying could actually make a bigger impact on a person's learning at that moment. And I want to thank you for being on the show, Claude. Thank you very much.
I have to thank you. Thank you for everything you do to promote this great game.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha, Claude. We're going to come back. We're going to Pebble Beach, and we'll be there right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors. Increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. Ernie Els made me sad. Ernie is not going to come back for another International President's Cup captain as the 2021, which would be, of course, the year the President's Cup is played next. I thought he did such a great job. And he's got this really cool way about it, his mannerisms. He just said, one, you know, if you don't win once, you just need to go move on, let somebody else. I think he would be really great. Maybe he'll change his mind. He did say that if it was ever done, if the President's Cup was ever played in South Africa, he would definitely be the President's Cup captain in that case. So let's check it out. AT&T Pebble Beach. This is a Pro-Am. Today's the last day of the Am part. Check out this leaderboard. Okay, did you expect Jason Day with all the back issues he's had? Jason Day is in the lead. Phil Mickelson has learned not only how to hit the ball far, but also how to use his irons and putt. It's all coming together. It seems he loves Pebble Beach. Nick Taylor was at the top of the leaderboard. He's over two over after a 63 and a 66. You know, having a 63 and a 66, that's really good golf. I hope he tunes it back in because he's a great young man from Canada. And Dustin Johnson is coming on strong, and so is Chris Baker. So we'll have to see, but we know who's there. John Peter Hagen. Play Away Please, the tale of the sale of golf's greatest icon, the St. Andrews Old Course Starter Box. That's one of John Peter Hagen's. Plus, he's working on a trilogy starting with The Pebble Beach and Other Chance Encounters. It's a novel slated for release sometime this summer. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning.
And now, you know, the last time you sent me an email, you said the fog is rolling in now. Cheers. And the wind is picking up today. Somebody said that, you know, and people just say things when they're writing just to keep talking about stuff. Pebble Beach, is it too early in the year? Is it squandered at this time of year? Should it be held in a different month when we could show off Pebble Beach more? What do you think?
I like this time of year. It is kind of an encapsulation of the rest of the weather that they play all over the world, whether it's Scotland or Australia or Hawaii or here. You get a little bit of it over 4 days from all the continents of the earth, and it's good. The fog is out this morning. It's nippy. I don't think it's going to get as warm as they thought it was. Tomorrow we're supposed to get some wind. So you're going to get a little bit of Scottish weather. You're going to have a little bit of Hawaiian weather. And I think it's healthy.
Okay.
It's healthy for the game.
Yeah. And you've got it. I was talking, I'm sure you heard, about Jason Day and Phil Mickelson being at the top of the leaderboard. It's great to see Phil on. He said he was hitting it like a stallion.
Well, the things that come out of his mouth are always exciting, aren't they?
Yes. He never fails to entertain. He's so good on social media. He hasn't won since, of course, Pebble Beach, but this would be, he's a defending champion, isn't he?
He sure is. Yeah, he won it for the fifth time last year. And he's had 22 starts since then. The best he did was a tie for 18 at the Masters. And he didn't have any top 10 in any of the tour events. So for him to wake up this week is very interesting. It's going to be interesting with him. And you mentioned Jason Day with his back problem and blowing up balloons to move his spine around. Jason likes this tournament. The last five Pebble Beach tournaments that he's been in, he's done no worse than the tie for five. So he's certainly a candidate.
Let me ask you something. I've often wondered what exactly is wrong. Don't like the word. I have back issues. What is wrong with Jason's back? And you said blowing up balloons. What do you mean?
He spends a half hour a day, every day, twice, blowing up a balloon, which is moving his diaphragm and moving his rib cage, and he thinks he's strengthening his core muscles by doing it.
Well, he is. He's doing breathing exercises, and a lot of people do in different ways, but blowing up a balloon certainly accomplishes the same thing. Fascinating. I thank you for that. I had no idea. So he's getting his core loosened up and tightened up and getting ready to support his back for the golf competition. It's great to see. I mean, I really like Jason. I hope that he can hold it all together. Dustin Johnson, he seems to be like this gentle giant who just really happy and content. He's got kids and he's got his love. And, do you feel like he wants to be number one again?
Oh, I think so. He's you mentioned Ernie Els a little bit ago. Their personalities are very similar in that they're, what do they call them, the Big Easy?
Uh-huh.
Or whatever. He just seems a little nonchalant. But when he's standing over that ball, when he starts that swing, he doesn't leave anything in the bag, that's for sure.
Yeah. Let's go back to Phil, because I want you to tell us a little bit about Phil's history, the family's history at Pebble Beach. It's very interesting.
Phil's grandfather was one of the first caddies hired in 1919 when Pebble Beach opened. Back then, caddies were lucky to get 50 cents a round or whatever, but for him, it was the beginning of a life, and he eventually acquired a silver dollar that he gave to Lefty in his youth, and when he comes to this tournament, he uses silver dollar as a ballpark.
You talked a little bit about how important this tournament was because of his family, so I can see exactly why.
And what, you know, they took it one step further this year where all the amateur candidates are getting a replica as a gift, a tea prize, if you will, of that silver dollar.
Wow. That's nice. Well, speaking of caddies, St. Andrews and the Caddy School for Soldiers. I mean, you're really close to St. Andrews. Your book was about the St. Andrews Old Course Starter Box sale. What is the Caddy School for Soldiers?
There is a gentleman over there that decided with returning soldiers and once they leave the military and they're looking for things to do, he thought it might be a good idea to put together a program to teach people how to be caddies. And he's focused on the retired military folks. And indeed, this week in St. Andrews, they're holding their, I think, their second or third school. It's become enormously successful. And as you know, Danielle, these days caddies can make a decent living at the highest level, at least. But even you go caddy in one of your tournaments over there, caddies here are probably being paid $100 to $200 a round. So it does add up, and you can make a living in the job. You're outside having fun, maybe even playing golf.
Wow. That's is it open to any soldier? I mean, if I were a U.S. or...
Yes.
So, really?
Yes. They're in the class this year at, I think, a couple of countries in Europe. So it's truly an international endeavor.
So this is St. Andrews and the Caddy School for Soldiers. Do you know how we get in touch? Do we? Is there a website?
There is. There's not a website. There is. It was just written up in the St. Andrews papers for the first time this week.
Wow!
I can get the information for you.
Yeah.
Next week.
Yeah, I'd love to have them on the show. This is great. This is great information. John,
so I'll do it.
Great. John Peter Hagen, is your book coming out?
Yeah, we're delayed a little bit. It'll be out next spring. We're trying to get it released. The first book was released in conjunction with the 2012 Open on the Old Course. And as you know, the Open goes back to the Old Course again next year. So we're trying to link the two together again and take advantage of the city that comes with that.
That's great. John Peter Hagen, play away, please, the tale of the sale of golf's greatest icon, the St. Andrews Old Course Starter Box, and the trilogy, Pebble Beach and Other Chance Encounters, the novel. Thank you so much for being on the show. You always have fascinating things to tell us about.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoy assisting, and I enjoy listening to you on Saturdays when I don't have to get up at the
crack of dawn.
God's first light, you know? It's fun.
Well, you can always listen on demand because it's podcast on all platforms. So, yeah, thank you again. I can't wait and look forward to getting more information about St. Andrews and the Caddy School for Soldiers. Aloha, John Peter Hagen.
Thank you.
We're going to come back. Adam Shupak, Senior Writer Golf Week, is with us. We'll be. Oh, by the way, he's the author of Dean Beeman, Golf's Driving Force, a really good book. You should pick it up. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
We are KPUA Hilo, K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu, K-O-N-I, Lanai City, K-T-O-H, Kalaheo. And now, Adam Shupak, Senior Writer, Golf Week, and author of Dean Beeman's Dean Beeman Golf's Driving Force. Welcome into the clubhouse. Adam is at the AT&T Pebble Beach right now. He's on the course. We've got to be very quiet. Hi.
Yeah, I'm actually in the getting a little morning golfing over at Pacific Grove. They call it the Poor Man's Pebble, playing with one of the famous groups that plays every Saturday morning for going on 40, 50 years. I think maybe even longer than that.
Wow.
And I'm in the game, so I'm going to make this as quick as possible, but happy to be with you as always.
So tell us, give us some impressions. How are things going? AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, is today the last day of the AM part? Are the professionals actually going to go at each other pretty soon?
Yeah, today's the cut, so 25 teams will survive till Sunday and get to play alongside the pros in the final round. And, you know, that's going to be interesting. I talked to the comedian Ray Romano. Has never made the cut, and he's in contention to do so, and he's supposed to appear in the Oscars on Sunday in Los Angeles. So we were saying, how are you going to do that? His wife's got her dress picked out. She, you know, so she's rooting against him to make the cut, and he's saying, I'm going to figure out a way, one way or another, I'm going to be there on Sunday night. He wants to play golf.
Well, of course he does. I mean, you know, there's ways to get from, oh, I don't know, Pebble Beach to Los Angeles. Isn't there, you know, some quick, I'm sure they'll pull it off. I can't imagine anyone turning this down. I'm fascinated by the leaderboard. Jason Day and Phil Mickelson, Nick Taylor dropping down a little bit, Chris Baker, Lanto Griffin. But seeing Jason Day and Phil Mickelson at the top, Phil Mickelson found his game.
Yeah, you know, what he told me was that he's got a better focus going. He played real well in Saudi Arabia, had a top five finish there, and it's carried over this week. He's playing with Steve Young, the Hall of Fame quarterback, and they're pairing together real well. They're in contention on that side of things, but you know, Phil hasn't won since he won here last year. He's trying to win this tournament for the sixth time. That would break a tie that he has with Mark O'Meara, and you know, this kind of came out of nowhere because he really has struggled ever since last year. He said, you know, he thought he was, after he won a year ago, he thought he was going to crush the year, and the year crushed him. And his game has been missing, but it seems to be in pretty good shape so far this week. And it'll be interesting to see how he plays on the weekend. You mentioned Jason Day. You know, the Australian had to pull out of the President's Cup because of the back. And he talked very honestly and candidly about just how serious, you know, the trouble that he's had with particularly that injury, but a myriad of injuries. And he said last year he was telling his wife, I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to do this. And so it's great to see him. You know, he said his back felt good enough to actually practice. And, you know, he played a practice round on Wednesday. And so, you know, the weather is beautiful, so I think that's going to help him a little bit. And, you know, he's a former number one, and I think he still has the game to get back to that level if he can continue to stay injury-free. That's
yeah.
The question with him.
Yeah. Has he told anyone exactly what the malady is?
You know, it's his back, and, you know, I don't know if he really has specified,
right,
you know, the exact details of it, but, you know, he did go into quite detail about this exercise that he does. He spends a half an hour before he plays every round blowing into balloons. He says he can do all sorts of animal shapes. If you got a birthday party coming up, he's your guy. But he does this for his rib cage. It does, you know, blowing into the balloon helps kind of move his rib cage into a better position, allows him to play. And when you think of something, this guy's career is on pins and needles. How much longer he can go? And he won one major and a Players Championship and got to world number one, but you know, I thought when he won his major at Whistling Straits a few years back that he was going to win maybe four or five by the time it was done, not just have to settle for one. But
okay,
so it's touch and go.
Yeah, well, when I saw him win last year at Pebble in this tournament, he's a defending champion. I thought, well, looks like he's put it all together and he's ready to rock and roll. And after that, he just kind of didn't. And that was just interesting. I know you're on a time crunch, so I don't know how deep we can go on Dustin Johnson. Any thoughts? I mean, Dustin is always like there, but it doesn't seem like he's in full force at this point. Is there something going on with Dustin?
Another guy who really slumped the second half of the season. And you know, he had some surgery during the off season, was able to play in the President's Cup, but I think he said it's not, he called it 100%, but then he started saying there's some particular situations where he can feel, you know, still some issues with that knee. So I think it's just going to take him a little time to get back comfortable. You know, this is a good stretch for him because he always plays well at Pebble Beach. Next week, Riviera is a course that he's won at in the past. So I think we'll learn a lot about where he is with his game this weekend.
And we'll see Brooks Koepka next week at Riviera. He all but one of the top 10 players in the field next weekend. It's going to be exciting. You going?
I am not. I've had 2 weeks in a row, so heading home. I'm going to actually play a little more golf on Monday and check out TPC Harding Park, and where they're going to play the PGA Championship in May, and get a little taste of that, and then home for a few days, and then I've got a tough assignment coming up. I'm going to Cabo for a travel story and play a whole bunch of golf over there.
Excuse me, this guy goes to Australia. He plays golf all across the Sand Belt in Australia, right, during President's Cup. Then he goes to New Zealand with his wife. He's playing golf all across New Zealand. And now he's at Pebble, supposedly covering a golf tournament. He's playing golf at Pebble, and then he's going to go to Cabo to play golf. You got a really rough life there. So do I have to let you go now? Is it your turn?
It's just about my turn to hit. I'll say one more thing. It's a fun story to watch this after in Saturday's round is going to be the commissioner of the PGA Tour, Jay Monahan, is playing in the Pro-Am, as is his father, Joe. And so this has been a real story to see the two of them having this experience together. And they both have a chance to maybe make the cut and play on Sunday, which would be a pretty cool experience.
So it sounds to me like we should really be watching the amateur leaderboard and not the professional leaderboard to find out what the real stories are.
Well, they don't hand out a trophy on Saturday, so it's an additional storyline to watch. And Saturday is one of those broadcasts you either love it or you press mute. And then, you know, it's just to be at Pebble Beach is so special, and to watch it on TV always a great thing. Yeah. So Sunday should be a good leaderboard, I think.
Yeah, and if we get anything from Phil, quite like we got the first day when he was talking about, he kind of went on a rant about, or just before the tournament started, about swing speed. And you can only go so fast, and then after that, it becomes impossible because you can't control the impact and the direction. And then he went on and on and on. I felt like Bryson DeChambeau had taken over his body and had gone, you know, it was just a very interesting. Phil is always fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, Phil also said that equipment really hasn't changed much, but somehow he also mentioned in the same conversation that he averaged 269 off the tee in 1993, his rookie season. He's averaging 305 this year, but equipment hasn't changed at all.
Not much. Thank you so much for taking time out of your round of golf, sir. And please say hello to your playing partners. Adam Shupak is senior writer at Golf Week. Thanks for being on the show.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Aloha. We're going to come back. Danielle's got some insight into the VIC in Australia right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
We put power at your fingertips. tips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range, located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors. Increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
In Australia, at the 13th Beach Golf Links, Victoria, Australia, there is an event co-sanctioned by the LPGA and the European Tour. A lot of people would like to see more of these kinds of events, where men and women are playing on the same golf course, not necessarily against one another. We have the LPGA rookie Haley Moore. She was leading for a while, shot a 66 and a 71, 79. She missed the cut, unfortunately, but it's good to see Christina Kim. She made the cut. Ayan Cho leads. Madeline Sagstrom, she's just won not too long ago. She sits second with Alinda Sharp, Hyeong Park, Siyoung Ro, Penyi Sai, and Minji Lee. And on the men's side, by the way, Minji Lee's brother, Minwoo Lee, is leading. Marcus Fraser and Tavis Smith are at the top of the leaderboard. And there was Jeff Ogilvy. I did a guest column on the LPGA website. It was the headline, "The Sum of Mixed Golf is More Than Its Separate Parts." And in it, he explains the evolution of his status as a women's golf fan. And at first, he said he just watched the majors, you know, the ANA Inspiration, the U.S. Women's Open. Now he gets front row seat at the Vic, and he says the Vic Open should open people's eyes to the fact that our game is full of amazing talent. It also proves that women and men playing together can work. And tennis has been doing it for years, clearly benefited from it. In the piece, he references rounds with Siyoung Ru, a two-time major winner, fellow Australian Su Oh, and their consistency and efficiency impressed him. Same can be said for the many others that were playing this week, he said. So when I'm at a golf tournament now, I'm watching other people play just as much as I'm playing myself. Last year at the Vic Open, again this week, I found that all I wanted to do was watch the women and how they went about it. And that's something that you can really learn from. Interesting on the Acushnet, you know, in we all go out and play a round of golf. Let's say we go out to Bayview. And Acushnet, Titleist, has unveiled a new lifestyle brand ball. It's called Union Green. Golf balls, apparel, accessories, a coffee mug for now is about the only accessory you'll find. So it's for people who just want to wear shorts, T-shirts, you know, and just very, very non kind of golf clothing, but still looking comfortable. And it says, "We're not the golfers you see on tour. We're different. The ones playing local, taking mulligans, over-celebrating, always going for it, club championships, rule books, 18 holes every day or every time. That's not our game. We're here for golf that fits our life, for fellowship, for the love of the fairway. We're united by the game." Doesn't that sound great? Well, anyway, they've got golf balls now. It's called Union Green if you want to find out more about that. And speaking of equipment, you know, Brooks Koepka, he does not have an equipment deal. It's kind of unusual. Most of them do. But if he did, between $3 and $7 million, they say, would be worth how much he would take in. And that doesn't include the hat. You know, it just makes me wonder, how much is that hat worth that you see everybody wearing with the logo on the top? And what do you get for the hat? That's interesting. So he's just got this great deal. He can play whatever clubs he wants to play and mix them up, throw one out, bring one in. I think, and I've always said, I thought the freedom of choosing your clubs and making your own. But, you know, the higher up you go on the food chain, the more that you get to just tell them how you want that club made. So you can actually, like we were talking about, was it last weekend, that actually, you know, Tiger was playing when he was young is pretty much the same that he's playing today when it comes to irons, because he just tells whoever's making his clubs, I want to make them that way. But most guys aren't Tiger Woods, so they're pretty much going to be locked into the equipment that they're going to be using from the manufacturer, with many tweaks, of course. I want to thank the people who make this show possible. Oahu Extraction, when it floods, and you know we've had some pretty heavy rain at times, and sometimes you don't realize you're getting flooded. Oh no, it's not a huge amount of water. It doesn't come flooding into your bathroom. Maybe it does. Mostly it's between the walls, and it just sits there, and it grows mold. You know, we've heard of mushrooms. So if you call Oahu Extraction, available 24/7 if you're being flooded, okay, but give them a call if you have a feeling like there's something icky going on in your house, there's a smell and you just don't get it, you're not feeling right about something, you feel like it's between the walls, maybe it's been leaking. And their number is 330-6212 and their website is oahuextraction.com. So give them a call. They've got this special device that can actually see, and they'll do it for free to check it out. Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe, Hawaii's best value in golf. It's a double-deck driving range in addition to the beautiful golf course. Now, the front nine is so different, so you play, it's kind of flat. Then you go up to the back nine, and you get the most gorgeous views of Kaneohe Bay. It's spectacular. You got to go check out Bayview and their double deck driving range with the top tracer, bayviewhawaii.com. That's their website, or call them 247-0451 extension 1. I spend a lot of time at Bayview. I'll be there Sunday because the Aloha State Junior Golfers gets together on Sunday. Aloha Power Equipment, Hawaii's largest power equipment showroom. Two locations, Honolulu and Waipahu. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it, you name it. Aloha Power Equipment, the best selection of personal generators anywhere. Aloha Power Equipment. And of course, Rainer Doors, providing lasting security and safety. The bottom line is this: making your house look good, okay, and it's good for your security and your safety, because today you don't want to get caught fumbling outside for your keys. You want to be safe. With a click of a button, that beautiful door rises up and in you drive, and it closes up and you're inside and you're safe. You want to increase the value of your home with a Rainer door? Call them. Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Protect your family and your home. It's 676-3667. As I mentioned, we are podcast on all platforms. Plus, if you come to radiogolfclub.com, you can find it there, the podcast. You can also listen to the show streaming live. It's going to be a gorgeous day today, mostly sunny skies. It's not going to get really hot. It's going to be about 77 degrees. So it would be a good time to get out to play. There's an 11 o'clock at Makalei, 10:48 at Royal Hawaiian. Bayview has a 10:32 and 11:18. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.